But first up, we're going to be talking about ants, and I'm delighted to welcome TCD's Ant Man, if I can call you that. He's Dr. Colby Tanner to the show. Thanks for coming in, Colby.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Maybe just move a little bit closer to the mic there. Yeah. Sorry, that's okay. So, Colby, you're from the States, so how far back does your interest in ants go? Like, is it something that you always wanted to study, or is it a recent thing?
No, you know, it was pretty recent. It began with my PhD. I was looking for a model organism to use for my PhD, studying social structure, and ants worked out well because they're social. And the thing that when they work together, I wanted to look for something that could work together as a unit to, like you say, to do more complex things. Ants are a good organism for that.
Sure. And when we say social insects, we don't mean that they're talking to each other. We mean, what do you mean in a scientific sense?
That's a really good point. Yeah. So the social insects, they take care of their young. They do work together as a team. So like you said, with ants, the nice thing about, so with ants, they have a what's called a division of labor. They allocate tasks. So certain ants will do certain things. Some ants will take care of the young. Some ants will go out and forage. Some ants are in charge of, will be responsible for reproduction, and they work together to accomplish, you know, larger, more difficult jobs that a human would do by his or herself. An ant colony can do it, but it takes a lot of different workers to working together, doing different things.
And with a colony, do they always have a very specific job, or do they do sometimes, like humans, do they do lots of different jobs?
It depends on the day. It depends on their history, but usually, yeah. So with this division of labor, what happens is an ant it has certain jobs that it will do, and as it ages, as it progresses, those jobs will change. Usually with ants, when they're younger, their jobs are mostly in the nest, and as they get older, their jobs will be more out of the nest, like going out foraging, defending the colony sometimes. So it changes with their age.
Okay, here in Ireland now, we were just talking before the show, but we're not a great country for ants. We're a bit too wet.
There aren't so many ants here, you're right. They're hard to find.
And is it because they just don't like the rain?
I don't. That's a good question. I don't know. They're declining, and so I mean, ants have been here before. And as I understand it, people with gardens are having some trouble with ants. So I mean, the ants can live here. They're just not as common in Ireland. And maybe it could be a lot of things. It could be it's difficult with having the city with the pavement. There are ants that live in cities elsewhere too. I'm not really sure why they don't live in Ireland so much, but I know we have a hard time finding them when we went looking for them.
And to the ones that you managed to find, are they in colonies? Do they build themselves colonies?
Yeah, they do build colonies. So for example, there are ants, we went out to the burn looking for ants, and you can find them. They're difficult. The numbers are decreasing, but you can find colonies of ants out there. Like I say, they're not as common as they used to be.
In maybe in the little cracks, is it? In the rocks? Is that where you get them? Or
with the pavement ants in the city, yeah, you can get them in the little cracks and things. And like I say, they're more common in other cities. You don't see them so often in Dublin. But no, out in the burn, out in the country, with the wood ants, with the formica, they'll be in big mounds. Usually you can see, they're the kind you can see, you know, from 25 meters away, you can see a mound in the hillside, and that would, yeah, those are the wood ants is what they're called.
Okay, well, let's look at some different ant species. There's lots of them, I'm sure. No, not just Ireland there, but all over. There's ants that are very good builders, basically. We were talking about how they can build things that are well ventilated.
All right, yeah.
Maybe give us an example of that.
Yeah, the ants do a lot of interesting things. The adder, leaf cutter ants, common in South America. They're common in South America. But what they do is they go and they chop down, you know, they cut little pieces of leaf, they take it back to the nest, and what they use the leaf for, they don't actually eat the leaf, they use the leaf to feed a fungus. They have a special fungus that they grow underground. They use the fungus as food to feed their young.
Okay.
The fungus gives off a lot of carbon dioxide for respiration. There's a lot of carbon dioxide that's given off by this fungus growing underground. And to compensate for that, what the ants do is they build ventilation systems. They build a series of tunnels, and they build these little turrets on top of the land where the tunnel meets the surface. And they build a little tower with a turret. And it's thought that this turret actually helps ventilate. It helps increase the wind flow so that the tunnels underground stay ventilated.
They get the gas out, so they don't need any carbon monoxide monitors or anything like that.
Yeah. So if you cover it up, the carbon dioxide builds up really quickly.
Yeah. Okay, and they don't last too long, I'm sure, when that happens.
No, they don't like that.
So some other extraordinary ones, I suppose, I'm thinking David Attenborough programs on TV and stuff,
right.
But the fire ants, they're quite aggressive, aren't they?
Very
humans,
aggressive.
Tell us about those guys.
Yeah, the fire ants don't look so imposing because they're so small. I mean, if you see one fire ant, it's not so scary. And I'll tell you a little bit. So the ants I worked with in South Africa, you know, they're an order of magnitude. They're, you know, a fire ant is, you know, 4 or 5 millimeters. The ants I was working in South Africa, are, you know, 24, 25 millimeters.
Goodness me. How long is that in our finger
terms?
Yeah,
it's about half of your index finger.
Half of your index finger, okay.
Yeah, but the fire ants, they don't look so imposing. But yeah, what the problem with them is if you see one, it's not very long before you see more. And they are very aggressive. And they have a sting with a nitrogen base to it. And not a lot of ants actually sting you. A lot of ants bite, the ones that we're familiar with. Not so many ants sting, but the fire ants sting, and their sting is the nitrogen in their sting is what leaves a big welt like hours after you've been stung.
And this is why you can I remember seeing, I'm sure everybody's seen, like, you know, an ant colony that's attacked, or there's a beetle or something around, and they swarm all over and they just wipe that beetle out.
Right. yeah, the fire ants are pretty good at that.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been, you're in Trinity in the theoretical ecology research group, and you've also been over to Switzerland. So tell us what's going on in Switzerland that you were interested in.
So yeah, I mentioned a little bit. There are the ants that I work with, or that I'm working with right now, are from South Africa, and the reason I work with them is because they're queenless ants. They're all morphologically the same, so there's no specialized caste, there's no queen, the different workers could all be the next reproductive ant. When a colony reproduces, they reproduce by fission, and what will happen is 20 or 30 workers will just get up, walk out of a nest, walk down the road, start up a new nest, and then they have to sort it out amongst themselves. They organize with a series of aggressive behaviors. They sort out a dominance hierarchy. They form a dominance hierarchy. And what I'm figuring out right now, they form a dominance hierarchy, sorry, I should explain, with the one on top becoming the next reproductive. So they're getting a hierarchy sorted for what they're going to do for their jobs, and the one that's on top of the hierarchy becomes the next reproductive for the colony.
But what's interesting, I guess, is that you want to look at what happens before they've sorted themselves out into the different jobs.
It's the sorting, yeah, exactly.
How
that's
do
the
they
part
sort
that I want
themselves?
To look at. That's what I'm looking at. That's the data I'm analyzing right now. Is I'm trying to figure out what types of interactions, what they do to actually get this hierarchy sorted. Is it a matter of two? Because what happens is when you begin the experiments, they're fairly aggressive toward one another, but within a couple of days, the aggression is gone. Mm. And so, what I'm curious now is: are they avoiding one another, or do they still see each other? Are the same ants still encountering each other, but they've just got it sorted now? Well, okay, we fought yesterday; we don't need to fight today. One of us must be the dominant ant here.
Yeah. So that when they've kind of, it's like the schoolyard bully that, you know, once the rest of the kids realize that he's too strong, they just back off and they don't want to, you know, they just accept that.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, yeah. So do they avoid the bully, or have they got it worked out where they no longer need the aggressive interactions?
But in this place in Switzerland, where is it exactly?
In Lausanne.
Lausanne,
Okay. University of Lausanne near Geneva.
Tell us about how you can watch individual ants in this system. So how does that work?
Right, so that's why I went to Lausanne. They have the infrared cameras, and what I would do was, so I would bring ant colonies back from South Africa, and I would have to glue little tiny tags onto the back of every ant, put the ants into these experimental chambers, and the chambers came with little video cameras, infrared cameras, and the video software was set up such that we could track every ant where it was twice a second for months at a time, for as much as as big as your computer could hold the data is essentially what it was. And so now what I'm going through and looking at that data, I'm trying to figure out, because I have the data for where each ant was every second of the day, so I know who's interacting with whom, and that's what I'm trying to set up now, is I'm trying to build social network.
So it's like you've got a huge amount of video footage,
yes,
of various interactions.
Terabytes of video.
Terabytes. But how many ants are you talking about that you're looking at?
Well, luckily for me, I only had 30 or 40 ants per colony. So the ones that I work with, Strebnoblathus is their name, they don't have very big colonies, between 20 and 80. And so I was working on the order of 20 and 30. But some of the people in Lausanne are working with other species, and they'll have hundreds of ants. And so, and their ants are much smaller usually also. Camponotus, and they'll be having like 200 ants in a nest. So when those people are working on their systems, the gluing the tags takes a lot longer than it does then.
Sure. And that's a new thing. That's a new way of looking at ants.
The reason I went down there is they were just building the system then. So yeah, the first papers will be coming out here shortly.
So now you're back in Dublin in Trinity, and you've got all this video footage of these ants. So what are you going to do now?
Start watching. Yeah.
Start watching lots of
videos to
ants
watch.
TV.
Yeah. Videos to watch and a lot of data to go through and figure out who was interacting with whom, who was fighting with whom, how long they were fighting. So yeah, I've got a lot of data to sort through still.
Okay. And finally, I suppose I should ask you, it seems, I know you're interested in lots of social insects, mainly the ants and other ones like crabs, different types of crabs, but some of the social insects, like the bees, are a social insect, and they seem to be struggling at the moment. You read about it in newspaper, and you mentioned the ants and the burn as well.
Right.
What do you think might be going on?
That's a really good question, because it's happening not just in Ireland. It's happening elsewhere. And so, and with the bees, there are lots of, there are, you know, people are talking, people talk about the climate, people talk about pesticides. There are several diseases. There are several invasive species that, that, especially with the bees are sensitive to a lot of different things. With the ants, that's not, there aren't as many hypotheses yet. We're still scratching our heads. The people I've talked to, you know, that were here 20 years ago, they said, you know, well, 20 years ago, we had all kinds of ants out in the burn, and they're just not there now. And
it's kind of worrying, though, isn't it? Because with the bees, obviously, those guys are pollinators. So if you don't have pollination, then the plants are going to be affected. If you don't have plants, animals, like, you could have some kind of an ecosystem crash.
It's a long chain of events. If the pollen, yeah, if the bees disappear, which is why there's a lot of research, there's a lot of money being put into research right now for the bees, because, yeah, it's not just people studying social insects that are concerned about the bees.
It's agriculture and food and everything.
Is very concerned.
And what about the ants then? What do they do for this whole system? What's their...
The ants with the ecosystem services isn't as... They're not as obvious. Ants move a lot of earth. So when they're around, they do a good job. They're like, kind of like earthworms in that sense. They do move a lot of earth, and they keep the ground porous.
Oxygenated.
Which helps the plants. But they're not nearly, like I say, they're not something that you would notice as much as like bee pollination. If the bees are gone, then the flowers are gone tomorrow.
So when you're looking for money for research, you can't make claims like the whole system is going to crash if you don't.
It'd be nicer if I could say something like that sometimes.
Sure, yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming in, taking the trouble to come in to us here. That's Dr. Colby Tanner. He's a TCD, Trinity College Dublin Research Group, Theoretical Ecology Research Group, I should say. And he was telling us all about ants. Thanks, Colby. Yeah, thank you.